Welcome to Now, I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Lynn Young.
Have you ever been to an art museum? Some folks want to bring the museum to you.
It's really educating people about the foundations of American visual culture.
There's a special display of Arab art in New York City this month.
We found that a lot of artists were thinking critically about whether images are capable of conveying a truth, whether images are transparent.
An African filmmaker pokes fun at a culture stereotype.
There's a new Michael Keaton film that parallels the actor's life.
We'll meet some young woman for whom music is a family affair.
That and more coming up on this Monday edition of Now. Lynn, you've been to the National Gallery of Art down the street here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite painting?
I like another painting by Van Gogh, but it's not stored in National Gallery of Art.
Oh, really?
It's stored in Getty Museum in California.
Oh, what is it? Sunflowers?
The iris. I really like that one. I just feel like there is so much like nature, everything combined in one.
Well, you know, it's funny because my wife and I last summer went to Arles, where Van Gogh painted a lot of his paintings.
Definitely.
And it really is. It's breathtaking. And, you know, the place, the sanitarium where he was recovering and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I hope we can see them here.
Yeah, well, they might you know, have a road trip. But, you know, some folks have never been to an art gallery. But as writer Faiza El-Masri and Faith Lapidus tell us, there's a recent project brought fine art to public places where you might not expect it.
Allies Day, May 1917, by Child Hassam, is on display at the National Gallery of Art. And throughout August, at a bus stop in downtown Washington, and in hundreds of other locations across the country. It's part of the Art Everywhere campaign, presenting reproductions of 58 American paintings, photographs, and other works of art spanning 230 years of American history on display in 50,000 unexpected locations.
It's really educating people about the foundations of American visual culture.
National Gallery of Art Associate Curator Charles Brock says another goal is to encourage people to visit museums.
Museums, of course, are dedicated to preserving culture for future generations. And so we have to make sure that those future generations are interested.
It's nice to get to have art every place and make it more accessible to kids.
The campaign was inspired by Art Everywhere in the UK, co-founded by Richard Reed.
America, to me, is a country that just does things bigger and better. More posters in more prominent places with wonderful art all across the country.
The most popular work, in an online vote, was Nighthawks, the iconic 1942 oil painting by Edward Hopper that hangs in the Art Institute of Chicago. The month-long campaign has been like a treasure hunt, according to Stephen Freitas of the Outdoor Advertising Association of America, which funded it.
People are going to the website, they're using the map, and they're going out and they're looking for and finding the pieces of art. We've encouraged people through Instagram to upload selfies of themselves with the artwork. And at the end, we're going to randomly select 10 winners.
As Art Everywhere comes to an end, everyone seems to come out a winner.
I'm from Phoenix, where art isn't really as celebrated. And putting it, I guess, in public places allows people to see art when they're not going to museums.
Well, it would be great if they did it year-round.
Amazing to be here in New York and see all this work of art for free.
Art Everywhere gives museums the opportunity to share hidden treasures, and it gives the public a chance to experience those treasures in unique ways. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Now, do they just put all this art on buses? Anywhere,
the buses,
like
billboards, they were on the side of buildings.
Can they be protected from damage, you know, dust?
I don't know. It's a temporary exhibit, so they're going to repaint the thing or take the poster down or whatever.
Okay.
You know.
I think definitely they need to protect it from. But it's an awesome idea.
It is a great idea.
You might be just taking the bus and then, whoa.
Oh, look. Wow.
Look. Who painted that one?
That's an Edgar Degas. Okay. Well, that's kind of fun.
Well, to see some of the artworks featured in Art Everywhere, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And let us know what you think and what your favorite painting is by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And follow us on Twitter at Now VOA Show.
Speaking of art, some Arab artists are featured in a special display in New York City.
The exhibition is spread out over five floors at the New Museum and exhibits work by more than 45 contemporary artists.
VOA's Carolyn Weaver has more on the show.
The New Museum show includes painting, drawing, sculpture, photography, and video by artists from 12 different Arab countries. The theme is new forms of reportage that have a, quote, critical approach to image making, says co-curator Natalie Bell.
We found that a lot of artists were thinking critically about whether images are capable of conveying a truth, whether images are transparent, and trying to create works that could convey these ideas.
Much of the work on display points only indirectly at events. Photographs by Harir Sarkeesian of bland, empty city streets and squares in his native Syria, spaces where public executions were held, seem to ask the question, how did what happened here leave no trace? Iranian-born artist Rokhni Haarizadeh makes fable-like videos by painting animal figures over news footage of demonstrations. Questions of war, immigration, and displacement appear throughout, as in Moroccan-born artist Boukra Halili's huge videos of maps traced by immigrants and refugees. In a video by Munira Al-Sol, the camera pans over parts of a lamb slaughtered for a feast. As the narrator considers whether the trauma of violence can ever be truly registered in the moment or filmed without exploitation.
She's speaking more poetically about the experience, both linking it to her experience fleeing Beirut for Damascus during the Lebanese Civil War when she was younger, and also reflecting on her family at that very moment and these get-togethers that they're having.
A sculpture like a tree made of confetti by Dubai artist Hassan Sharif is constructed of surplus manufactured goods, everything from copper wires to string to cut-up plastic shoes. Kalandia 2087, a tabletop city model by Hebron-born Wafa Hourani, is a utopian vision of a Palestinian refugee village.
Well, it looks very realistic as a kind of architectural model. It's also very simple. And that's something that interested us also because it's a way of reminding us that, you know, art can be made with very simple materials.
Some of the artists in the show have not previously exhibited in New York, and Bell says many are indifferent to commercial art markets and reject the notion of themselves as Arab artists. The huge size of the New Museum show underlines another point, she adds. Art from the Arab world today is so diverse that it resists all attempts to categorize it. Carolyn Weaver, VOA News, New York.
To see some of these artworks and video of the story, visit our website, www.voanews.com.
And let us know what you think by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And follow us on Twitter, at Now VOA Show.
My ticket for the long way round, two bottle whiskey for the way, and I sure would like some sweet company, and I'm leaving tomorrow, what do you say, when I'm gone.
Many Africans have left their homelands to find opportunities in other countries, but they take with them culture traditions that can create problems.
One example is tardiness, an issue that is tackled by Texas-based Nigerian filmmaker Kelechi Eke.
He makes Nollywood-style films that focus on the lives of African immigrants as well as important issues back in Africa.
VOA's Greg Flakes has more from outside Houston, Texas.
Using a public park in Houston for an African setting, Kelechi Eke and his crew are making a music video to help promote his recent movie, African Time.
The music video is a quick way for people to get a general idea of what the movie is about.
With humor, the film takes on the African tendency to arrive late.
African time is obvious. They know that, you tell Africans to be somewhere at 1 o'clock, they show up at 6.
Angolan singer Angelina Katumbela suggested the video as a way to promote the film, her singing career, and African punctuality.
There are consequences whenever you are late. That's the message of the song.
And speaking of which, you're late right now, too.
Yes, I'm late. Oh, my gosh. African time, so let's go.
Eke and Katumbela work closely on the choreography and staging of this video, but he handles almost every other aspect of production.
I'm blessed to be able to do a lot of these things by myself. I write, I produce, I direct, I even act in my own movies.
Wait a minute. So you want us to tell Americans that our wedding starts at 2 p.m. and tell Africans that it starts at 10 a.m.?
Exactly.
No, that's a four-hour time difference.
That's the only way we can get my people there on time.
African Time also shows typical American rifts between the children of African immigrants and their parents.
Oh, nothing. I'm just trying to clean my room. My mom was all, it is time to clean your room.
Sounds just like my mom.
In a foreign country, there's always a conflict, between African parents and their kids because they're Americans, whether we like it or not. They are born here. This is all they see. But in our mind, they're Africans. So.
Okay, stop. Kelechi Eke works as a computer programmer in Dallas, though he hopes to one day make movies full time. He says that's a big challenge for all independent filmmakers.
If you're starting off and looking at the money side of it, I will advise don't do it, because the returns are not immediate.
What keeps him going, he says, is all the positive feedback from people in the United States, Europe, and Africa. One of his films about Africans struggling with their identity in a foreign land is used in Africa studies programs at several major U.S. universities. Kelechi Eke is now developing a site, bigobi.com, where people around the world can see his films streaming online. Greg Flakes, VOA News, Houston.
Now, this guy's making fun of what they call African time.
Yeah, I saw it.
Now, is there, being a Lawai, is there such a thing as Asian time?
I think there's definitely, I can't speak for other cultures, but there's definitely a Chinese time, which is absolutely from 30 minutes to an hour late.
It's not an hour late?
Well, for the African time, it's 4 hours late.
I
so apparently we're a lot better.
Well, now, see, that shows my ignorance. I thought that being Chinese, they'd be like, early.
No, Chinese time is very ambiguous.
Really?
Like if you say we're going to start at 6:30, most people will start at 7, will show up at 7.
Really?
But another group will show up at 7:15 or 7:30. I won't be surprised.
Really?
Cuz I'm always on time.
Yes.
So I will tell my friends we're going to meet at 6 when anything we're going to do starts at 7.
Oh, okay. See, now, I learned a very difficult lesson about this because I had a doctor's appointment. And I got stuck in our illustrious Washington traffic here.
Okay.
So I was like 10 minutes late, right? And this is an important appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And, the receptionist goes, you'll have to reschedule.
Seriously?
He went on to the next patient. Aww. He's like, come back. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Wow. I thought when I went to doctor's appointment, it's always, I will be on time.
Yeah, now most of the time you sit there, minutes. But this guy was a specialist, and he basically was like, you know what, it's 3:15. He went on to the next person.
I feel like Americans are, most Americans are on time.
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
Well, we try
the good traits. Well, to see video of this story, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And what about timeliness in your culture? Well, let us know by posting your comments on our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And follow us on Twitter, at Now VOA Show.
Tomorrow way too far away, and we can't get back yesterday. But we young right now, we got right now, so get up right now, 'cause all we got is right now.
A new film from Fox Searchlight Pictures is creating a buzz at this year's Venice Film Festival in Italy.
The film Birdman stars Michael Keaton as a washed-up actor who used to play the superhero Birdman, but now is staging a Broadway play to revive his career.
The parallels between the character, Regan Thompson, and Keaton's own career provide some of the driving force of this film.
At the opening press conference, Keaton, who started the whole wave of superhero films with 1989's Batman, said he was comfortable with what he called the elephant in the room.
It really was the easiest obstacle to jump over of everything. The obstacle is always the same. Who's this person, and am I telling the truth every time? Is every word out of my mouth the truth?
The film also stars Edward Norton as Keaton's co-star in the play, Emma Stone as Regan Thompson's daughter, and Amy Ryan as his ex-wife.
The ensemble cast was under the eye of director Alejandro González Iñárritu, famous for his art house film 21 Grams and Babel.
Iñárritu told the press conference that he needed someone with Keaton's talents to carry the weight of this story.
Because I knew that the tone of the film will be extraordinarily difficult to get and to explore and to discover while doing it, I need an actor who has the very rare ability to navigate between drama and comedy simultaneously.
Iñárritu said he was terrified making the film, but sent his actors a photo of French aerist Philippe Petit's famous high-wire walk between the towers of the former World Trade Center to show what kind of project they were involved in.
Edward Norton says that everyone put their egos aside for this film. Their object was to please the director.
Everybody's working for the same thing, which is waiting to hear that guy sort of scream, yes, you know. And you know, you wait like 10 hours for that to happen. And when you finally get it, it was sort of like a party at the end of every day.
Emma Stone, who is making a Spider-Man movie simultaneously with filming Birdman, says she was scared but also exhilarated by the experience.
I learned more on this movie than I've learned on anything I've ever done. I developed an eye twitch. I was terrified, and when it ended, all I wanted was to go back and do it again.
Birdman also stars Zach Galifianakis, Naomi Watts, and Andreas Riseborough.
It is one of the 20 films competing for the Golden Lion, the top prize at the Venice Film Festival, which continues through September 6th.
So what do you think? Do you plan to see Birdman? Let us know by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia. We want to introduce you to four young Filipina-American women who are living their dream of being professional musicians.
Ivy Rose is an all-girl indie rock group made up of three sisters, Isabel, Sarah, and Christine De Leon, and singer-guitarist Martina San Diego.
The De Leon sisters started playing music in church. Sarah De Leon says that the group started playing music thanks in large part to their father's influence.
He's the one that actually taught us. He was the one who started us all, like, piano lessons.
We all actually learned drums at some point, and then I dropped those two, and then I and then he was like, "Okay, here's the guitar." So he's the one that started having me play. We all three actually started playing in the church choir, so that's where we started like singing and playing together.
Martina San Diego also started young and says her parents played a big role.
I've been singing ever since I was like 3 years old. and then slowly I picked up piano too and guitar and a little ukulele. But yeah, I just grew up doing it in the household. I got my voice from my mom, thankfully. But my dad is also really into music, so I just grew up with that.
Drummer Isabel De Leon says the group formed when a family friend introduced them to Martina, and the band picked a name that fit their vibe.
A few years ago, we were introduced to Martina by a mutual family friend, and we all clicked off almost immediately, sat down together, started writing some music, and, you know, just found this wonderful chemistry with each other, both on and off the stage. In terms of the name, there's nothing really special to it. We were just like, well, if we're going to perform, we need a band name. Started thinking of things, you know, which sounded nice. And somehow Ivy Rose came out, you know, to us to mean something that represents both something beautiful, but also something mysterious.
Isabel's drumming has put her in the spotlight. She won the 2013 Washington Woman in Jazz Festival's Young Artist Contest.
Ivy Rose has two CDs out so far, 2010's This Adventure and 2012's Rain. The four musicians also made it to the semifinals of the America's Got Talent show in 2012.
Isabel De Leon says the inspiration for their music can come from almost anywhere.
Sometimes one of us will bring in and be like, hey, I wrote this thing. You know, usually it'll include maybe lyrics and a melody. You know, can you try to add something? And, you know, all of us will contribute our individual artistry to it. Sometimes, like, you know, we'll just start with a melody. Or we'll start with just like a riff and then just build off of that and jam. So it's different every time, which is what keeps the excitement going.
Martina San Diego says she takes music seriously and loves being able to represent universal feelings and experiences.
We were given the gift of storytelling through music, through songwriting. And I think that is such a special gift, and we're so fortunate to have that because we can put on pen and paper with lyrics and music, with guitar, bass, drums, experiences that everyone goes through. And whenever we play a song, and it could be someone who's heard our music before, it could be someone who hears it for the first time, it hits home with them, and then we've done something incredible. And that's the biggest inspiration.
Isabel De Leon says that the dwindling budgets and cutbacks in music and arts education in the United States is sacrificing something that can help transform students' lives.
You know, it keeps people, you know, preventing them from doing other things. You know, when you find the joy and the love in music, you devote all your extra time to that, and you will make time to do it. So, you know, that helps to build habits for the future, you know, in terms of being able to schedule everything and, you know, prioritize what's important to you and be able to do both successfully.
So what do you think of Ivy Rose? Let us know by logging onto our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And you can also find Ivy Rose on iTunes.
And be sure to follow them on Twitter at Ivy Rose Music.
And follow us too. We're at Now VOA Show. Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Now.
If you want to see video of the stories on our show, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
That's also where you can download copies of our show, and we're on iTunes.
Let us know your thoughts by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NowVOAShow.
Patrice Martin produces our program.
The managing editor of VOA English is Diane Gao.
Until next time, I'm Lin Yang.
And I'm David Byrd. Join us again Tuesday for another edition of Now.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. You can listen to Encounter on Saturdays and Sundays. That's Encounter, every Saturday and Sunday on the Voice of America.